We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
People seeking more information about state pensions, borrowing, and debt. Partly cloudy skies in Champaign-Urbana tonight, the low 58 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny, with a high of 75. We'll have wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy and cooler with a low of 48 degrees. Cooler Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 65. Thursday evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 45. Partly sunny Friday with a high of 65. Friday night through Saturday evening, partly cloudy. The low 45 with a high of 68 degrees. Right now, 76 on Friends Plaza at 406.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Lynn Neary.
And I'm Melissa Block. After 18 years on the books, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is done. The policy banning gays and lesbians from serving openly in the U.S. military was officially repealed today. In a moment, we'll hear from an Air Force lieutenant who just went public announcing that he is gay. First, though, we turn to NPR's Rachel Martin. She's at the Pentagon, where she reports it was an ordinary day to mark an extraordinary milestone.
Lunchtime at the Pentagon. People in uniforms and business suits roamed around the halls and stopped in at a couple of information booths that are always around, one on how to watch for signs of domestic abuse, the other giving out information on flu shots. There were no gay rights demonstrations or celebrations. Now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is over, it was a normal day, and that's how the Pentagon wanted it to be.
It's the right thing to do. It's done. We need to move on.
Admiral Mike Mullen is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. His testimony on Capitol Hill last year is said to have been a crucial tipping point in the effort to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He mentioned that testimony today.
I believe then, and I still believe, that it was first and foremost a matter of integrity, that it was fundamentally against everything we stand for as an institution to force people to lie about who they are just to wear a uniform. We are better than that.
There's, you know, joy, there's relief.
That's Clark Cooper of the Log Cabin Republicans, one of the groups that's been fighting for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Cooper is an Iraq war vet. He's also gay. Cooper says Don't Ask, Don't Tell forced him and other gay service members to keep their personal lives secret, not bringing family photos into work, going solo to military social events.
I know myself and other gay and lesbian service members have had to go years without having important people in our lives participate in those events. So that's going to change. I mean, there's still issues to be addressed in the long term, but for the immediate, that relief of that threat of being discharged has been removed.
One of the issues still being worked out has to do with an even more controversial issue, gay marriage, whether or not a military chaplain can marry a gay service member in a state where gay marriage is legal. But the Pentagon has clarified other questions about repeal. For example, commanders can't create separate showers or housing based on sexual identity, and sexual harassment of any kind won't be tolerated. Here's Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta.
I'm committed to removing all of the barriers that would prevent Americans from serving their country and from rising to the highest level of responsibility that their talents and capabilities warrant. These are men and women who put their lives on the line in the defense of this country, and that's what should matter the most.
Several gay service members said today was historic, in part because of how normal it was. They went to work, did their job. They just didn't have to worry about losing that job because they're gay. Rachel Martin, NPR News, The Pentagon.
More than 13,000 members of the military have been discharged from service as a result of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. But thousands more stayed in, keeping their sexuality a closely held secret. Among them was J.D. Smith, an Air Force lieutenant who co-founded OutServe, an undercover support group for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender service members. Well, today we know that Lieutenant J.D. Smith is really Lieutenant Josh Seafried. Under the Smith pseudonym, he also edited the upcoming essay collection, Our Time, Breaking the Silence of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Josh Seafried joins us now. Good to have you with us, Josh.
Thank you for having me on.
So today, this was your first chance to come out without any official repercussions. How does it feel?
It feels like a huge burden has been lifted off my shoulders. There's not a day when living under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you didn't think about it, and today that's all gone.
I find that amazing when you say there was not a day that you didn't think about it. Really? Truly?
I mean, everything consumes you about it. You have to go into work fearing that someone may find out, someone may bring it up, and it comes up in conversation more than you think about relationships. Friends will ask you, who are you dating, or why don't you want to hang out? And so every single day there's something that you have to think about with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And if somebody asked who you were dating, did you lie?
Absolutely. You had to lie, or you just tried to remain silent about it. It was very awkward, and it gets more and more confusing the more years you live under it.
Well, do you think that a lot of people in the military now will come out as you did today?
I think that should be the goal. I think that people need to feel comfortable coming out, and that's why I chose to come out on day one. I felt if I didn't come out on day one, I'd be a hypocrite for saying in the past that repeal it, don't ask, don't tell would not be an issue. It would be business as usual, and I chose not to come out. So I chose to come out on day one to show that it's not an issue and that people should feel comfortable doing so.
Well, it seems from your book, some of the essays in your book, that perhaps some parts of the military aren't quite ready for this change. For example, there's an essay from a West Point cadet who questions just how much the academy's culture of hyper-masculinity and intolerance to homosexuality really can change. So what is the atmosphere, and do you think people really will be afraid to publicly declare that they are gay?
Well, that's the stigma we've got to fight now, and that's one of the goals I really try to do with the book. When people share their stories with their real names and real details, it starts to break down that stigma. Whether or not you really don't like the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or favor it, you're at least talking about it. And when you have that discussion, you can start to break down the walls of prejudice, which is why I chose to edit the book and why I chose to come out on day one, is that it starts the discussion to start to build that atmosphere of respect.
So you think it's really important for them to come out, to declare publicly who they are?
Absolutely. If we don't come out, then we remain invisible. But when we come out and have that discussion and say, I am a gay military member or a gay officer, high in the ranks, low in the ranks, and we're everywhere, it breaks down that stigma and it normalizes it.
It sounds like some officers have said, oh, this is just going to be another day. Is that what it's going to feel like, do you think, on most bases?
Oh, absolutely. It's business as usual as normal. You're going to go into the base and no issue at all will pop up. It will maybe come up for 5 minutes. Oh, you're gay. And then you realize it's just another boring conversation. I think people remember today more for glee than they do the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Really? All right. It's interesting. Some of the essays in your book also are from members of the service who did reveal that they were gay and were discharged as a result. Will those people have an opportunity to be reinstated now?
Yes. Everyone that was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell can apply to be reinstated, but they're going to have to go through the normal process. So anyone that was kicked out can apply. And I mean, even people that were kicked out years ago that got a dishonorable discharge can now apply to get their discharge upgraded, such as a World War II veteran that got his discharge upgraded recently.
So what challenges do you see still ahead for gay and lesbian service members?
I think it's about creating that atmosphere of respect where you feel comfortable to come out. Over in Britain, there's still not one Royal Marine that's felt comfortable to come out publicly. And that's something that we have to change over here because their policy changed, you know, 10 years ago. And we can't let that happen over here. And that's why gay service members need to feel comfortable coming out. That's why the book is important. And that's why these type of interviews are important.
Now, it's pretty early for this to occur, but have you had any negative reactions so far to coming out today?
Absolutely not. My commander called me today after he saw the interviews and he said, make sure you're professional. And it was very well received. And I've received nothing but support. And I think that that's the way it is. Other people that have done the same thing, we've started to work with our public affairs officers and other people on bases. And it's been nothing but acceptance. I think it's what exactly we expected.
Air Force Lieutenant Josh Seyfried came out today with the official end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Josh Seyfried, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Even before President Obama officially unveiled his plan yesterday to reduce the deficit, Republicans lambasted both the president and his proposal. In the chorus of criticism that followed, two words stood out.
Class warfare, Chris, may make for really good politics, but it makes for rotten economics.
Again, class warfare has never created a job.
Well, that's class warfare.
I don't think I would describe class warfare as leadership.
This is not class warfare. It's math.
That's President Obama and his Republican critics, House Speaker John Boehner, Senator Lindsey Graham, and Congressmen John Fleming and Paul Ryan. All of this got us wondering, when did this idea of using class warfare as an accusation and as a weapon itself first take hold in American politics? To help us answer that question, we're joined by Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So where did this idea of class warfare begin?
Well, we've seen the concept of class warfare